Good evening, everyone. This is the Planning and Community Development Committee meeting. My name is Cynthia Delstrinos-Johnson. I serve as chair of this committee. I'm joined by Councilmember Quinn and Councilmember McLeod, who's sitting in today for Councilmember Hogarty. We have one item on our agenda this evening, and it is the Economic Development Plan Vision and Goals. And we have Derek Speck, who is our Economic Development Administrator, Director, who will lead off this discussion. You're the director, right?
I'm a step below a director.
Okay.
Or two steps below, whatever.
Got it.
Thank you, Chair. So the item on the agenda tonight, you'll see, is just on page one of your packet. Basically, there's a short memo from me, and then there's an attachment that was prepared by Community Attributes, which is our consultant on the economic development strategy. We're calling it a strategy, not a plan at this stage. So in your memo is a very brief recap of the key items from the attached strategy document from CAI. And what this is the purpose tonight is to get your feedback on a vision statement for the economic development strategy. And then goals. So these are proposed. This is draft. And so CAI is going to present a little bit or talk to you a little bit about the goals and the vision statement. We've worked on them together and then really want to hear your feedback about that. And then after that, we're happy to answer any other questions you have. And so if that's okay, I'll turn it over to Elliot with CAI right now. Elliot, it's all you.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having us. We're glad to be back. We've reached sort of an interim milestone here on the project with the draft vision and goals, although to Derek's point, they are not finalized. We are looking to have, more than anything, a good discussion tonight with you about them. And we will, of course, revise accordingly as we get more and more feedback on them, both from you and from the community as we continue to do some outreach and engagement, which has been fast and furious in the months of November and now into December. I am going to let Jeff, who's also with us from Community Attributes, walk through each of the goals. But in lieu of a formal presentation, we knew they were in your packet materials. You've been able to see them, read through them. We thought we'd just keep it at a discussion level. We don't have any slides. There's not a formal presentation. And we will just hang on as long as you would like to field questions or otherwise discuss why we sort of came up with the goals that were advanced in the document that you received. So unless there are any questions for me at this point, and I'm happy to field any not just about the vision and the goals, but also just about the larger project and where we're at in the schedule or what comes next, I will turn it over to Jeff to give a brief walkthrough, just a few minutes here, of what those five goals are.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I am happy to kick it off and give you a sort of overall impression of the goals that we're working through with Derek. The vision statement, the only thing I'll say is just keep in mind that these are, you know, you keep these pretty general so that you can hitch on the actions and initiatives that you want to advance associated with each. And so I'll just sort of highlight what types of activities might be connected to each of these goals in our current imaginings. The vision statement, I can read it just briefly. Tukwila is a vibrant community with a strong and sustainable economy that celebrates its diversity, supports economic prosperity for all residents, and provides a foundation for businesses of all sizes. So it's trying to get at sort of durable access to economic progress and opportunity for all residents and supporting all business types. Ranging from local to traded sector. The first goal is a strong and sustainable economy. So this is focusing on that sort of that element of, observations of Tukwila having gone through multiple iterations of job growth and some job decline in past years and trying to advance sort of a robust, sustainable economic progress and prosperity for its residents. The next goal speaks to a desirable community, so reinforcing those sort of foundational elements in an economy and ensuring that the community has the support network it needs for both businesses and residents and their ability to participate in the economy. The fourth is a strong foundation for small businesses, so a specific call out to the unique conditions for small businesses, being one of the primary employers and the, one of the most important elements of an economy, especially where you are trying to bring about entrepreneurship and innovation and support those activities. And then, of course, leveraging the unique potential and opportunity in Tukwila, given its high levels of diversity and the opportunities that that brings in sort of supporting and advancing innovation and in supporting those businesses that come from a variety of backgrounds. So this is sort of speaking to all of those elements in building out a vision and goals and strategies for this work. And as we said, it's sort of a draft set we wanted to bring by you. There are elements to this that we are starting to build out when it comes to the actual strategies that could be hitched to these, but wanted to give you an impression of it overall at this starting point.
And I know you all are mostly familiar with this process. You've gone through other similar planning processes. We've talked on past calls together about what it looks like, the sort of hierarchy of content that we're seeking to develop. But as a brief reminder, you know, the vision's got to be consistent with your overall city vision. So we want those tie-ins, but it also is specific to Tukwila's economy. The goals, we typically aim for 3 to 5, maybe 6 or 7 at the most, but they are essentially strategic themes that we want to be focusing on. They're the core priorities for the next, 3, 5, maybe 10 years at the most, although these strategies are rather focused on the near term because you need to be able to adapt as conditions change. And in 5 years, the economic conditions or market conditions in which you're operating may be different. And so that's where we've gotten so far. We will continue to develop the more tactical pieces to this, the strategies, which are sort of an approach to achieving a goal. And each goal might have anywhere from another 3 to 5 strategies that nest underneath it. And then the actions or tactics, you know, you can choose your terminology there. Really, they're interchangeable. But those are the things that sort of go on a work plan for city staff in any given year or something like that, right? They're the things that are actionable in the near term. And they are the finest grained level of the hierarchy of content in an economic development strategy. So it's just sort of a reminder of where we're at now and also where we're going here in the next couple months.
We'll move into council member questions. I'll start with council member Quinn.
Thank you for your presentation. I think we've had bits and pieces of this. So what's before us is kind of, there's no surprise in kind of the high-level strategy, the vision, and the pieces. So it makes sense. I had some comments and maybe some, not so much, I don't really have questions, but I have kind of recommended considerations. On the first page, and these will repeat because I'm kind of focusing on the 5 development strategy goals. And one is like prosperity and opportunity for businesses and residents. So I just wonder if we should have something in there around kind of shared responsibility and partnership, because we are a city that has always had a large business base that we've had to balance with our, 21,000, 22,000 residents. And how do you kind of figure out a way that you kind of set yourself apart of other cities that don't have, that don't have the mix that we have? So there's that.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit more? Like, so shared opportunities or shared partnership or shared responsibilities and shared partnership. So definitely don't assume I'm smarter than I am. So if you could lay that out a little bit more.
Sure. I just think having some more partnership language because it speaks to who we are as a city.
Okay.
And so it is that maybe it's kind of our commitment, both as a community and as businesses, to have shared prosperity that the city can experience.
I think are you getting to sort of the thing of like, in some communities, businesses might feel like their obligation is simply to run a business and make money.
That's exactly right.
And in our community, we're saying is, you know, actually, if you want to be in Tukwila, we want you here, but there's also a responsibility because we are a lower income community on the residential side. The business is not just their goal of running their business, but we have to have a shared responsibility for the whole community. So,
yes, I think I would maybe read it a little bit more positively, but
sure,
you hit it right on the nail on the head of we were a bedroom community in our history and two businesses, and that relationship, right? It used to be a bowling town, right? We're now kind of a retail and business establishment town where some residents work here. We're impacted by whatever goes on here.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's just, you know, that commitment that's kind of who we are as a jurisdiction.
So if I could just delve a little bit more. So I think an example would be, I think there are a lot of businesses in Tukwila that are national owned businesses that in some cases, they really just look at their business as we're here to have a business, and they actually don't have any connections to the community whatsoever. And so we don't see, they don't have an owner that's in the community. They don't even have managers that maybe are in the community. And so their actual involvement in the community is really just having their doors open and having customers and, you know, those kinds of things. And so I think in some ways they look at Tukwila as just a pure financial opportunity. And I think what you're trying to say in a more positive way, if we can work with Elliot and Jeff to find a way that's maybe a little more positive than how I would phrase it, it's maybe more about that kind of social commitment on behalf of the businesses.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then there are other two quick items. On the fifth bullet, where it talks about a community that celebrates diversity, and have kind of been involved long enough to know we talk that a lot, but we're transitioning. And so not to say that this language needs to be changed, but this will give you a sense of why I'm doing this. So like a community that celebrates and invests in our shared value of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a piece of that that's embedded in some of these strategies, but I think it's good to call it out. So we're not just saying diversity is our marketing, it's who we are, and it's valuable to us that we have a community that actually is diverse that as ours. It's a strength, you know. Then the last one, and it's funny because it's the same five points around the prosperity and opportunity for businesses and residents. The note I had here was resilience, strong, consistent, and again, this doesn't necessarily have to be under here, but I think we need to reflect it somehow. And it's kind of reflective of shared prosperity, but you know, it's important to have strong economic footing, and we do have we got to figure out a structural balance so we can still preserve the residential community and the business community so that services that businesses expect to come, they understand the structural pieces, because I kind of feel like we're out of alignment just because we were always a small jurisdiction. But we have these, and then it goes to the streamlined sales tax. Like, we're not going to have, we're fighting to get those funds to maintain the infrastructure that's needed to support these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a tool, it no longer exists. And I feel like to be consistent with all that we've discussed, we kind of may have to have some remnants in this language when we go before the council, because it is a fact. It's not even an opinion, it's a fact that the way that our tax structure is doesn't support infrastructure in the manner that it did when we didn't have the streamlined sales tax.
And was there a particular part in there that kind of jogged those thoughts for you that if I wanted to kind of look back and we want to make a note, or I mean, I understand what you're saying, so we can look through and kind of, but if there was some part that you're like, hey, this is where this concept ought to be inserted or something.
Oh, you mean within here?
Yeah. Was there anything in there where you thought, this is where it really applies? Don't worry, if it doesn't, that's okay. We will figure that out.
I think it definitely the comprehensive plan, economic development element, right?
Yeah.
I think that's an important place. You can embed it in the kind of quality of life, new and expanded focus areas. I think that's probably the most appropriate place for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the answer as well.
And then the expanding economic
opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can definitely work, figure out where that
is. Sorry. But,
no.
And I do. Sorry to cut in. It's not easy when I'm not in the room, and I wish I could be in the room with you. I do think we want goal one to be a home for that conversation. I think that we want to make sure it's coming through clearly in goal one. So if it's not, then we need to do some editing to make sure it does. I also think it might be useful, maybe this is just an aside, Derek, for us to catch up on later, but thinking about how we sync up with your comp plan update, given that you're on a 2024 delivery schedule for your periodic update, to make sure that the economic development alignment is there between both the element and the strategy on this front. And that's not something we've discussed explicitly yet. So we can kind of bookmark that as something to come back to and make sure that we're coordinating adequately with the folks who are working on the comp plan.
Sure.
If I could, that was right on, because I think goal one could tie all this together. And I've been involved in the city since who knows how long, but I've been on the council since 2008 and worked for the county. And I understand the language used here, but I want to make sure that
clear.
The average resident, quite frankly, the average council member, understands sustainable tax revenues.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because that can be interpreted. So, for instance, it can be interpreted as only attracting businesses
that
generate a lot of excess tax revenue. Like, hey, we could say, oh, a strategy is going to be go get auto dealers, because auto dealers generate way more tax revenue than their costs of service are. Or it could also be interpreted as, well, that strategy is really the businesses that are here need to be paying their way and covering the costs of the infrastructure that we have. You know, so I think I think it's both from what I hear you're saying. And so
one more good thing, because the dealership used to pay its costs. It no longer pays its cost, because those dollars go back to where you live.
You should have an offline.
Okay. All right. So back to part one, those things that I said about business and partnership should live in one. So I'll just say it again, kind of a shared partnership, resilient, strong, consistent kind of economic foundation that incorporates the structural needs of the community. Now, we don't have to get into wordsmithing, but I think I'm trying my best to be clear and kind of follow what Elliot was saying, because that's exactly what I meant, is like one could bring all 2, 3, and 4 all together if we frame it the right way. All right.
Councilmember McCloud?
I have a couple of comments and questions. I'll start on number 5, the community that celebrates diversity. What's the difference between celebrating and promoting?
Well, to me, promoting, and I haven't really given this much thought, those two definitional differences, but to me, off the top of my head, promoting to promote something, you don't necessarily have to believe it. You don't have to value it. I think celebrating it, to me, implies we actually value it.
Because if I'm going to start a matzo ball soup kitchen, I don't know if I care that you celebrate me as much as I want you to promote me.
Well, maybe promote and value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then I was thinking also about, so let's say someone wants to start a business and English is their second language. And they're thinking, where do I locate it? I could go to SeaTac. I could go to Tukwila. And do we have any, I mean, I didn't see it, so I'm asking, is there some language we could use that would invite them to Tukwila?
It's like to invite business.
Yeah. You know, like, for instance, in the vision statement, it says support economic prosperity for all residents and provide the foundation. See, so the word foundation there, I think, is already understood in those first two lines. So it kind of seems a little redundant to me. But is there a way to word some of that where, one, we express the interest that we're kind of inviting them, we want them to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're thinking SeaTac, well, where do I go? And to pull the vision statement is just kind of pulling them in.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, do we need to say something about you want to give them a safe place to do their business?
It's a good question because I know safety is top of mind for everybody these days. It is a little bit, and maybe Elliot, you've got, Jeff have some experience with these kinds of documents, but from my perspective, we do want to try to make this be a document that is a little bit more multi-year, and so there's going to be ups, like there's going to be particular hot button issues year to year, and I think safety absolutely is right now number one issue from my perspective from economic development. But I personally don't know that we need to try to highlight that in the vision statement. I think by saying we want a vibrant community, I think some of those things sort of imply safety. They're not specific, but we can say something about safety. Maybe when we get to like tasks or actions, mm-hmm. you know, that could be like an immediate strategy. I think safety is going to be an immediate strategy of something. And so I feel like that's my recommendation is where it would come out. But Elliot, Jeff, do you have any? And it's okay to disagree with me. It's fine. We're
no, I largely agree in this instance. I accept your invite to disagree where it's warranted, Derek. But in this case, I think we're aligned. I think you will see that concept of safety coming through quite strongly at the strategies and actions level. And recall that I said those are kind of the work plan items for city staff. So they're going to be necessarily more responsive to the immediate issues facing businesses as opposed to sort of the longer term strategic vision for Tukwila's economy. So I think we're still in this, you know, COVID recovery phase for businesses where a lot of direct business supports are going to be necessary for a period of time. And we want that to come through in the strategy. I think at the vision level, I would want to see, this is just me, you know, I will gladly go a different direction if that's what's appropriate for Tukwila, but I would want to see some optimism around what Tukwila's economy can be. And it's not about a fear of negative impacts to businesses as much as it is about a really just foundationally positive place to be as a business. And I think, you know, your vision statement is the number one thing you're going to use to communicate who you are and what you offer to companies. And you can always elaborate on it beyond that because you'll be having conversations with these businesses over the process whereby you're recruiting them to come to Tukwila, you're inviting them to come to Tukwila. But I think optimism is a key part of that message. I think some communities will opt to include some language around having a business-friendly climate, which is similar to safety, but it's also a little bit, I mean, even the word friendly, right, is more positive in its connotation than safety. So I would urge optimism in the vision statement. And at the same time, I think we can cover safety and the necessity of safety for individual businesses at the level of the strategies and the actions.
Can you share a thought about the word invite? If that was a part of the vision statement, like if the last line said provides provides and invites for businesses of all sizes or something like that.
I think that might merit inclusion. I do think invite implies that you might be going deeper on recruitment than some communities may choose to do, but some of this is semantics and we don't need to over-index on specific word choice. I think the idea that you want to give people an opportunity proactively to be a part of Tukwila's business community, and by people I don't just mean residents either of Tukwila or of other cities in the area, but business owners who may operate businesses in other communities or maybe looking for a place to start a business, you do want to invite them. So I don't want to get too bought in on recruitment because I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all solution, but I do think that you want to be inclusive and inclusive in a proactive way, and maybe invite is a word that could signal that.
I think it'd be good for us to, now that we've heard what you're thinking, we can go back and, you know, brainstorm a little bit. I'd like to think about it more because to me, invite is sort of an action word, and the vision statement's more about a description of, you know, what that world is like in the future. And so to me, inviting is more recruiting, inviting is more like a, again, like a strategy. And also invite, if people think it means bringing in new businesses, then they might start thinking it means we're not focused on our existing businesses. And so we really want to be, so what we can hear the concerns and we'll go back and brainstorm a little bit more, because maybe we have to do something like supports economic prosperity for all residents and businesses. So it's like, I think what you're trying to get to is we want to be prosperous for our businesses and we want to be a place that businesses want to locate.
Yeah, if we've got entrepreneurs that are thinking about where to put my business, we want them to know that, yes, we want them.
Yeah, we want a strong business community that people come here to, they want to be here because it's a good business.
Yeah.
Place.
I also want to say on page one of your draft, I really like that the radar about region's childcare ecosystem, training to address workforce gaps, and promoting international trade and tourism. I think those are really important, so I'm glad to see those that are on your radar here.
I just wanted a quick follow-up on the invite topic. To move us back, but it wasn't so far in the rearview mirror. I think to Derek's point, that language at the strategic level makes a lot of sense, and I thought I might just provide like a tangible example of how that might actually play out. So I'm not sure that it would go under goal 3. I could make a case that it would go under goal 4. It could go under a couple of different goals, and maybe we'll even edit the goals further to give it a clearer home. But at the strategic level, I said at the top, we might have 3, 4, 5, 6 strategies for each goal. One of the strategies could actually be invite businesses from other cities to make a home in Tukwila. And then actions underneath that would be really tactical, where it could be proactively approach 8 to 10 businesses in sector X within the next 12 months to assess their potential for relocation or expansion. And so that's something that Derek and staff can actually act on, but it is implied by the goal. It's just not explicitly in the goal. And so that's how that content kind of nests. And that's where I think maybe invite does make a lot of sense as a strategy, even if it doesn't show up explicitly as a goal. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I'll start with just overarching thoughts that I had about the vision and the goals. The first one was, I see it in here somewhat, but where do workers, like those who choose to work or do work in Tukwila, where do they fit within this picture? And I think number 3 mm-hmm. as a goal, and even consideration of including them in the vision statement. I've just been hearing that this whole labor shortage is something that's sort of new. People are, you know, talking about where did all the workers go? How come it's so hard for us to find workers? And I still think it's something that many people don't understand. And it's something that's going to be ongoing for the next couple of years. that I heard, but our businesses cannot thrive here if they don't have people who can work here. And I think maybe talking about the increase of minimum wage might be something. I mean, that's like a, I wouldn't necessarily call it a partnership with the community, but something that the community definitely spoke, you know, spoke about this last election. This last election, they passed the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's something to put in here. Like, does it fall within our economic development plan to also be something that recruits people to work here, like, or that just supports people who work here?
So I'm really glad you're bringing it up because this whole, there's an issue of, you know, supporting workers is something that we're sort of silent on it currently at Twin City Policy in terms of like supporting. So for instance, and this is the time I think to get the issue on the table for where would the council like this to go. And so in the past, you know, I feel like we've sort of positioned it, or I've positioned it, where our priority is to build a great community for the residents, have a good economic foundation for the businesses so the businesses are successful. But I've not really focused on the people working in the businesses, except if we're trying to help businesses get workers. So if a business had called and said, hey, we're having a hard time getting employees, oh, okay, do you know WorkSource? WorkSource can help you, you know, do job fair, whatever. We would do that. And I feel like that definitely is still kind of in this. But now there's a whole question of, should we as a city be more proactive in helping the people who are already employed here? Maybe they don't live in Tukwila. Like, the vast majority of them don't. And do we want to put more resources behind helping them as workers for their sake, not for the business's sake? And so I feel like I'm not sure if that's what you're kind of going to.
That is a question. And that's why I raised it, because I saw like, it's not really front and center here. So I'm, go ahead, Deshaun, if you have.
On page 8, and it's another PSRC, but under quality of life, I mean, I think we may be able to accomplish that. This is just an idea, and this is the one piece that I forgot. We have been marking ourselves as not a region, but as a place to live, work, and play. So maybe defining what that means could help, and maybe you have that in the, I know this is the Tukwila element, but we've been very specific in the redevelopment of the urban center. It's live, work, and play. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've spoken to it, but then you can speak to you can have the specificity of what you mean for those three things, right? So I just think that that's something we've talked about for a long time. It's something we talked about in the strategic plan. This is the vision we're going, live, work, and play. Maybe put your teeth behind it.
I don't know, that could be a question for a consideration for the council, if that's what you're saying, Derek. Like, well, that wasn't something that we prioritized in the past. But maybe it's something we prioritize in the future. And maybe if it comes out as a theme when doing community engagement, I just raised it because I saw that it was missing.
Yeah. And I'm not an expert in workers' rights and, you know, what kind of regulations cities can do to protect workers. I'm not really that familiar with those levels of detail. The minimum wage has brought it more to the forefront for people and for me. And so if Elliot or Jeff, if you've got a lot more insights into this. But so in the past, I would look at things like, well, what can we do to help workers? It'd be more like, well, what amenities would workers want in the community as a way to make it a good place to work? So like transit, amenities like restaurants you can walk to, or like Tukwila Pond Park so you can take a walk at lunchtime. So to me, those things are intended already to be in here. It's just that there was something a lot more kind of like promoting a minimum wage would not have been something in here in the past. And so if that's sort of the
general direction that you would want to be included in here, then that's where we might need to get some clarity on the language to make sure that kind of, like, promoting it. Like, let's say we didn't have a minimum wage. Would the council be saying, hey, Derek or whoever, let's go get a coalition together to get a new minimum wage or a higher minimum wage? That's something that I don't feel is currently in what we're proposing, that level of, you know, like that far, but definitely about transportation and amenities and those things are definitely, you know, housing, if people want to be able to live near where they're working, like that stuff, I feel like is kind of inherently what the vision is.
I think it could fall within 2 and 3 in the goals. A desirable community to have your business, to live, and also to work. Because all those things you mentioned about places to eat, you know, a safe place. I mean, one of the concerns, but I know we talked about safety, but, you know, like feeling safe where you work is an important thing. Having easy access to freeways, transportation. I've heard people say that if they like working here because it's easier to get to than Seattle, which is great, you know. So just something to think about.
Sure. Like making it desirable for people that want to work here.
An element that often comes up when it comes to sort of workers positioning in an economic strategy is sort of talent development and what cities can do to kind of work with partner organizations that are doing job training and doing a variety of other activities related to, just in ensuring that workers get a leg up and have, say, on-the-job training, et cetera. So there can be some elements of that we integrate into this strategy. Now, some of it will be generalized at the goal level, so you won't be seeing it. You'll be seeing sort of more of that trickle out, but we'll be sure to reflect some of this language in the higher-level goal setting so that it's known that those actions are also included.
And I just wanted to say, maybe this is more context than is useful, but we've done economic development strategies for communities in the Pacific Northwest that are as small as 5,000 people are in rural Northwest Oregon or Northeast Washington, and as big as the greater Seattle region as a whole. We worked with Greater Seattle Partners to do the COVID economic recovery strategy, for example. Just a year ago, I was working with the city of Boise, Idaho, obviously very different than Tukwila, but we've seen this play out at different scales is kind of my point. And all communities have to make a strategic decision about how they loop in these larger topics like housing and transportation. I won't say infrastructure necessarily, because infrastructure is more commonly thought of as critical to or core to economic development, but housing isn't always thought of that way, at least not initially. And increasingly, particularly in some of these high-cost regions, it is being thought of as that way. So I think what we need to do is elevate a conversation about what the governors are on Tukwila's economic success. And I don't just mean success as in more jobs, could be higher paying jobs, could be more equitable access to jobs that pay a livable wage. Like, we can all talk together about what success means for Tukwila's economy, but if housing is the governor or transportation is the governor, then that's an argument for elevating that in Tukwila's economic development strategy. And we are seeing the case play out where housing increasingly is a challenge for companies because they can't find talent that have access to affordable housing. Tukwila's housing stock, this is not saying much because the region as a whole is very expensive, tends to be more affordable. It's not as expensive as a place like Seattle or Bellevue, but at the same time, Tukwila residents might be facing longer commute times and they might prefer to live in Tukwila. Tukwila also, just by the numbers, has a lower share of home ownership as opposed to housing that is being rented. And so maybe we look at ways to offer better paths to home ownership as an inducement to workers who are looking for that in their own personal lives. And that becomes an incentive to work a job in Tukwila as well. Maybe it's an investment in transportation. You know, you've got the freeway access already, to your point, council member, but maybe there are other things we can do, better investments regionally in transit, whatever it may be. These are hypotheticals, but we can we can take the housing and the transportation conversation as far as you want us to in this economic development strategy so that it reflects the importance of those issues to Tukwila's economy specifically. And of course, the more we do, the more coordination we need with other plans and strategies like your comprehensive plan, because your housing element will dictate a lot of that. Your transportation element will dictate a lot of that, but that's coordination that can be done. So hopefully that's helpful. I've seen it play out differently. Some communities don't want to touch those topics in their economic development strategies, and some communities know inherently that they're very important to their economy.
Yeah, and I like everything that you had just mentioned, and I really think this is an exploratory opportunity for us. I like what Councilmember Quinn reminded us of in terms of like wanting, at one point, visioning the South Center area as live, work, and play, and what does that mean? And how do we, you know, has it been successful since we have incorporated spaces to live in, you know, like just places where people are actually living down there? Is it, and is that the future? I mean, then we're bringing in Tukwila South or the Prado District, and is that also live, work, and play? And how are we supporting that? So just, I think it's more of an exploration. I like what you were talking about, Elliot, in terms of how to incorporate workers, but not necessarily have them be the focus of the plan, but they're just acknowledging that they're a part of it. Mm-hmm. One thing, like a theme, I just put it out there, is our regional positionality and how Tukwila is really a connector community. And people from all over, like South King County, between Seattle and Tacoma, we bring them here. So I think that's a strength.
Absolutely.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I think that should be highlighted somewhere in the vision, whether it's a vision or like the goals. Just like, hey, we are a connector. We serve the region. And then because I heard it mentioned before, just where it says diversity, one thing that I'll say is a lot of folks are using language that's more talking about like inclusive, like we're an inclusive community, and that we want to make everyone feel like they belong, or something around the terms inclusive and belonging. Like, I think that we're shifting away from just celebrate diversity to really creating communities that are more inclusive, where all people feel like they belong. So I put that out there as like terminology to use. And sorry, Sean knows we do this like type of work in our regular jobs, and so I know that this is where it's shifting.
Yeah.
Are those terms.
And we appreciate that kind of feedback, because that's what this is for. So you're saying like on number five, where we say community that celebrates diversity, maybe that should be rephrased somehow to be more inclusive, something about inclusiveness and welcoming, not diversity.
Like welcoming, sense of belonging.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
I did have one, just to correct the record. I think it's an overstatement to say that we haven't worked on it, because they've worked on focused on the workers and the community, because whenever we have a comp plan, that is the justification that we use for affordable housing, is that folks that work here should be able to afford to live here. So I think in not only that, but park improvements. So I would say it differently, I'm just saying, because that has been top of mind as we've really taken these willingness to get out of the conventional wisdom box and recognize truly the importance of kind of diversified experience in Tukwila. So, for example, teachers, we want teachers to live here. We know that folks who live here may be more on a fixed income. So the whole point of having their experience be something that, you know, maybe they can benefit from a city that prioritizes them with public spaces, and or, you know, an acknowledgement that, yes, we're at 60% rental, because that probably increases the likelihood if you work here, you can actually live here. So instead of taking it as a weakness, it's actually a strength. So we've done on that. We just probably haven't said, boom, $15 minimum wage. But at the end of the day, that's a fact now. And I mean, it's a part of quality of life as well. So I just wanted to state that, like, we've talked about years, whether it be the gambling tax go away, like folks are talking about workers that were there, other businesses. So we've touched on some things.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So my questions are done. I guess my next thing is, what are your guys' next steps on this? I got an email. I read my email today that we're seeking community like input and feedback on this. So maybe you could speak to that process and just what are our next steps now?
Yeah. So the email, I don't know, Elliot and Jeff, it just came out. I haven't forwarded that to you yet. But so the email is one of the ones we talked about earlier today about inviting people to fill out the online survey. So how about this? I'll turn it to Elliot and Jeff to talk about overall next steps, and then I can come back and talk about what engagement, kind of where we are in our engagement process, which is that email was a
good. Yeah, I said it at the top. Engagement has been really what we've been focused on here in November and in December. We're actually sort of at the midpoint or even a little bit beyond in this project, in the sense that we're aiming to deliver a draft of the strategy to you no later than the month of February. So that will be upon us rather quickly. We began in September. So just for context, it's a roughly 6 month project timeline with about 3 months done and 3 months yet to go. The engagement will not stop at the end of December. In particular, we've got focus groups scheduled, or I suppose they're not scheduled in the sense of being formally on the calendar, but we've been discussing scheduling them for the month of January. And those focus groups will help us to advance strategies and actions that would nest underneath these goals. Of course, before we do that, we need to finalize the vision and the goals. So your feedback will be instrumental in that. And we will be working toward finalizing those goals in the next couple of weeks here, as things like the feedback from the survey come in and some of the other engagement work is completed. Really, once we get to the strategies and actions, we'll be in a good position to develop a complete draft. And that's where we land in February. I would anticipate that we would have a complete draft in place in the first half of the month. We would want to get some feedback that would be from, at a minimum, I think, and Derek, I might need to defer to you here, but feedback from you as a committee, likely feedback from the Council of the Whole as well. And so we'll probably be trying to get some dates in place where we could be coming back to you as a committee and then to the Council of the Whole. And we have some avenues by which we can circulate the draft to the public at large, posting it online, things like that, sending out email blasts, doing follow-ups with any individuals or groups that have been involved in the process to date, so that we are putting it out there for all of Tukwila to see and giving some time for comments to roll in so that we know that this is something that has broad support, I think, across the community, the business community, and the residents. I think we could be in a good place to finalize the draft by the end of February. From my standpoint, if we need into March to do that, that's not a problem. We can let some of the community and stakeholder engagement drive that. So if it needs to be out in the wild for more time for us to feel like it's been fully vetted, that's perfectly fine. But we also don't want to delay unnecessarily in getting you a draft that you can start to take action on, or that you can direct staff to implement. So that's sort of the overall timeline where we're at. And then Derek, maybe you want to provide some more detail on the specific engagement activities underway.
Yeah, sure. So you may remember you gave us $50,000 for CAI's contract. You gave us $50,000 for enhanced outreach. So what we've been doing, the basic outreach, of course, is there's a web page on the city's website. There is a survey now that's on, well, it's been on for a few weeks on the city's, that page. That survey is currently available in 7 languages. We're adding 2 more languages based on the request. So we'll have a total of 9. English is one of the 9 languages. It's a very short survey. I'm personally very proud that we're keeping it so short and so flexible. And so that's live, but we haven't, as a city, actively promoted it because I really think that people get overloaded with stuff coming through. And I wanted us to wait till after Thanksgiving, and I feel like we're in the sweet spot now. And so we, that email you just saw come out, I think that's the one that went out to the, well, it either went out to the business list we have, or it went out to the list that we, the city uses for the e-hazelnut. And it's sort of the same messaging. We may tweak it a tiny bit for the businesses. So I haven't looked to see which one that, so we're trying to get both of those out yesterday or today. And so that's an email encouraging them to fill out the online survey. And we're putting in there saying, submit, you know, fill out the survey by December 15th to try to like give it like a, the truth is we're not going to take the survey down December 15th. Like Elliot said, we're going to leave that survey up through the process because there will always be some stragglers. We want to give people a place to put their, you know, we go back and check whatever comes in. So in addition to that, we've been doing a lot of the same things you've seen with other city projects. So I've asked to go to every city board and commission. So I've gotten to almost all of them. I think there's one more to come later this month. And I think for some reason, civil service, I don't know if they've been meeting or not meeting, but I think the only one we won't get, have gotten to is civil service. So otherwise, by the end of this month, we'll have been all city boards and commissions. So I treat these as listening sessions. So we kind of lay out the basic questions. We just hear the conversation, we save that. And we're going to be saving all this information. It'll be kind of like, by, not attributed by name, but by committee. Mm-hmm. We've also offered listening sessions to basically any community group that wants us, that hears about it. So like the Rotary or some other groups like that, if they want a listening session, we've done that. I think you are the one, council member McLeod, that suggested the Rotary. We've been at a couple of the farmers markets doing actual printed surveys out there, National Night Out, promoting the website with people wanting to sign up. You can sign up for updates on the websites if you want to be notified with updates. So that's all kind of the basic stuff. So I think what's really even more exciting and fun are the contracts with the enhanced outreach money. So we did a request for interest, a really short one-page RFI out to about two dozen organizations that we are aware of that cover the Tukwila SeaTac area. We got responses back from about 7 to 9. And so we have 5 contracts in place. We're still negotiating, trying to work out. Negotiating makes it sound like it's some negotiations. It's just trying to work the details out. People are busy with, so there's 3 others we're still trying to work out. So I think we may end up, I think we'll definitely end up with 7 of those, maybe all 8. Yeah. And those are the contracts with those organizations where they already have some kind of connections to the community. And so they basically responded back saying, here's who we can reach. Here's how we think we can reach them. And so that's what we have the contract centered around. So it could be it's everything from like a $1,500 contract with River Tune United Methodist Church because Jan Bowler Jack said, hey, would you like input from the homeless population? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So it's really just the church people going out and interviewing. They're not going to have surveys filled out with that population. They're going to basically kind of interview them and give us a report summarizing it. It's things like a $2,000 contract with, there's a couple different organizations. I've got to make sure I get the right one. African Community Housing and Development, so Hamdi's group. They had already surveyed a bunch of Somali and East African businesses last year for SeaTac and Tukwila. So we don't need to recreate that wheel. We are just going to ask them to create a report for us specific to Tukwila, but we'll compensate them for that work. It's other things like SeaTac Tukwila Community Coalition that's organized by Global Local. They already have a community leaders group that's connecting the Congolese Integration Network. They're connecting partners in employment. They're connecting Somali Health Board. So last week I did 2 listening sessions with them. And so it's those kinds of things, those contracts. So we'll have all that, and that'll be, we hired the chamber. They did door-to-door in the South Center District. They're going to do one more door-to-door on TIB. At some point, Brandon and I will probably be in front of SARS because I think that's a key grocery store. I'd love to get some other folks that could help us do the outreach there. Haven't figured out how to do that yet. So I'm not sure Brandon and I are going to be the people that are going to people feel most welcome coming up to there, you know, so we need to, you know, figure that out. But so that's what we've been doing with that. All of those contracts, we're supposed to be getting all that report and all that information before the end of December. And so most of it's going to be by December 15th. So we'll kind of see the lion's share of it then. And so we'll be having some kind of a summary. You'll be able to see the details by group and all that, but we're going to find a way with CAI to sort of summarize all that. What are the big learnings to all that? So that's, and then like Elliot mentioned, there's more. One of the ones we're still working out, maybe Deshaun can give us advice on this, is so I'm really excited if we can work it out. You know, we have a good relationship with Dexter that owns Debonair Barber Shop. So we're trying to work out a contract with Dexter where he coordinates the other barbers, other barber shops in Tukwila, and we have a barbershop battle on which one can turn in the most surveys. But we've got to get it done next week. And so Dex is busy, you know, so but if we can pull that off, again, that'd be a small contract. And I think that could be fun. We can do some social media with that. So we'll do another social media push. We'll push one more. So this week, you'll see the two emails. If you get the new business email, you'll see that. And then the chamber will push it out to their members. And then we'll do one more push reminder next week on the survey.
Any questions or thoughts?
So we'll have a summary of all that at some point.
Thank you. Thank you all for your work. I'm glad that we were able to spend a little bit more time talking about this today. So thanks for bringing it up, Derek, and always constantly asking for our input.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it because we don't want to get so far down the road that like we get to council and council says, what are you doing?
I mean, why would you go there?
Yeah, yeah, we're here to do, you know. And so I guess the key question is, we're not asking you to council. But if you think, for, you know, you helped us last time, you're like, you don't need to go to council last time. And we're not asking you to go to council next Monday. But we're happy to do that if you think the council would want to weigh in on the draft vision and goals.
Yeah, I mean, should we wait for the actual draft? Because what I heard is that February there'll be an actual draft.
Yeah, initially.
Okay, and it would come here.
Kath has been involved with the
So come here with the draft next year, and then it could go to committee as a whole.
And that gives you an opportunity to have businesses on, you know, in the back of your mind, and you can just,
yeah.
I think that's okay. Yeah, formula.
Is that clear enough for you, Derek?
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Yep, Elliot, Jeff, you have makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great.
Perfect.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah, yep. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. So Jeff, we'll see you later.
Oh, by the way, Elliot, Jeff, Nora Gerloff is on the line right now. She's our community development director. So, Elliot, what you were talking about connecting to comp plan,
yeah.
Nora's all. And our intent is for this. Basically,
the
economic element, if possible, for the comp plan.
Yeah, I saw that. Happy to coordinate with Nora and others as appropriate, and we can talk about what that looks like moving forward.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate the feedback.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much.
Stop recording, or we
have a nice evening. Okay. Bye.